All right, we're so glad you came today. We're celebrating our 25th year. And Denise and I are just going to share a few remarks. Then we're going to have a little video here in a moment, again, about the testimonies that some of you had put together. So that's awesome. I'm going to let her share the scripture, the vision scripture for our church that we've had. So, amen.
It's neat because we both came up with it, and I just realized he had the same scripture I did. I picked. So
probably we don't communicate at our house all the time, you know. Anyway.
I was doing pictures.
Yeah.
All right. So it is Psalms 78, and it's 1-8. And it says, "Listen, O my people, to my instructions. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal from them from their children, but tell the generation to come the praises of our Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he has commanded our fathers that they should teach him to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, and that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Do you want me to read 8? No. Okay. I won't read 8.
I was going to do 5-7.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's good. You have anything, let's leave your mic on and talk.
Oh, okay.
What you want to share about that? Anything?
Yeah, I just really loved how this is just given the vision. And to give you a little background, to tell you the truth, I wanted to give a little background. Brad and I, we met at Bible school, and we got engaged right after Bible school. He came home and asked me to marry him at my house after he talked to my dad. So that was really sweet. And so we got married right away. And I'll tell you, coming out of Bible school, you think you're spiritual. And we had a lot of good word in us. But we struggled our first year.
I didn't think we were going to share that part.
Oh. Well, I just want to give a background. And why we are so passionate about what Jesus can do is because our first year was terrible. And I can even remember asking my parents. I said, I want to leave. I'm coming home, back to Wisconsin. And my dad said, "You're not welcome here." And I just was like, oh, no. You know, and we had to work it out. And I remember we had a big fight. I came home from hanging out with some girlfriends at a Bible study, and I wasn't even planning on coming home. I had asked if I could stay overnight, and they talked me into going back home. And Brad had waited up. He would go to bed at 9:00 every night. And so he had waited up till 11, because I didn't come home till 11, thinking for sure he'd be asleep. But he waited up, and he said, "I registered us to go to the marriage conference.
Retreat.
Next weekend, marriage retreat the next weekend." And at that marriage retreat, we both asked God to give us new hearts. And I'll tell you, it was amazing what God can do. And it felt good not to run, and the revelations that he gave us. And it was just so neat how he could take two broken hearts and heal them. And what I looked at Brad as the enemy, even though I knew he really loved God, I mean, that was never a doubt in my mind that he loved God. But I didn't like how our relationship was, and how he took these two broken hearts and healed them. And it wasn't instantaneous, but it was little things. And the bad parts got further and further apart and further apart. And it was just amazing what God can do. It's great. Bible school is so needed because the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. But the only thing is we need to take that Word and apply it to our lives. And the only way you can do that is when you really are consistently under the Word of God, have other people. And I want to tell you that without this church would never be what it is without all the people throughout all the years that have helped build this church. Because it's the body. We're not the head. Jesus is the head. And if he can heal us, we know that's what gave us the passion to want to help other people come to just submit their hearts to the Word, to get to know Jesus and just really dig into him. Because cars are nice, homes are nice, you know, nice things are nice. But to tell you the truth, the real joy, the real satisfaction, the real passion in life is having that solid foundation with Jesus. And just really knowing that you can have victory no matter what comes against you. That He can heal any hurt. That He can take our shame and our guilt. And that you can have that freedom. And that is what we really, I think this scripture just spoke to us, is that we want to train and help other people.
Amen.
Tell the next generation. Have you noticed how our next generation isn't being told? There's so many kids nowadays. When I was little, everybody, I think, went to church. Nowadays, a lot of people have never even stepped into a church. Our world is changing, but yet we have the victory.
Amen.
And that's what I feel this is saying. And I just wanted to thank all the people. You know, some people have been here for short periods of time. Some people have passed away and gone to glory. And others have been staying in here, and you know, and we have grown together. And we have a passion and a fire for Jesus. And I really believe miracles and signs and wonders and the Spirit of God is going to move mightily. As we dig into His Word, as we dig into His truth, as we stay together, connected. Because when you're not connected, Satan will pick you off. He'll try to. And so that's kind of what I wanted to say. And thank you for, you know, being here. You're the ones who have built it. This is not Brad's and Denise's church. This is your church.
Amen.
We are the church.
Amen. I had no idea. I think she did pretty good turning that thing around, didn't she? Sounded pretty tough there in the beginning. You know, I didn't know. I didn't want to relive all that again or not. But anyway, it is a blessing. What I see from that passage is the idea of generational blessing. And really we need to see that as Christians and people who maybe have young kids in our life, how important it is to impart the blessings of God to their life, to make sure the kids get in church and not just drop them off all the time, but come yourself, and to be a part of that yourself, because that's how we grow. I want to go over a couple little things just briefly. You know, some people have asked, you know, about the name of the church. You know, River Life Family Worship Center. That's a mouthful, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be River Life Family Worship Center of South Central Iowa, but I couldn't fit that on the card. No, I'm just kidding.
And it's River-Life. Yeah. It's not River of Life.
I came up with that name right after we got married. I was living out in Denver. And to me, River Life is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And in John, it talks about living waters flowing out of your belly. You know, we're a Spirit-led church. We believe that's so important. You need the Word of God, but you also need the Holy Spirit moving in your life, leading you and guiding you. And then, you know, the church is people, so that's why I call it Family Worship Center. It's a place where families come to worship together. And we need to just lay all our inhibitions at the door and be able to come in and just praise our God in whichever way you feel comfortable. And we've always wanted a church like that, and I thank God He's given us that. Couple, 3 points I wanted to share. Number one, she kind of shared a little bit of it, is that we didn't do it alone. You know, we've had a lot of people along the years hop in and really pitch in and really help us with that vision. You know, to me, as a pastor, you know, I came from a small town out on a farm and never dreamed I was going to do anything like this, never wanted to speak in front of people, you know, but, you know, God had delivered me from death so many times. And I've had two visions of the Lord in my life. And I knew that God wanted me to do something. I wasn't really sure what it was, so I had to keep looking and searching. But what amazes me is that it's extremely gratifying when you find other people who are going to join your vision. You know, to be a part of what you're doing and tie in and lock arms and really want to see things come. It's a hard job that we've chosen. We're not a normal church. We're kind of a missional church in some ways. We want to reach a lot of kids who don't know Jesus, kids whose parents are maybe not as interested in church or Jesus at this time. But we go fetch them. We bring them in on a Wednesday night, and it can be really wild here sometimes. But, you know, the reason why we do that, number one, both my wife and I, it's so good to have somebody with the same vision. But, you know, wanting to make an impact on the next generation and prepare them for ministry. I've shared that when I lived here in Albia, Iowa, nobody invited me to church. My family, we kind of stopped going, or I did anyway. Maybe my mom went a little bit, maybe my sister. But, you know, I just dropped out of church. I prayed to Jesus every night, but not one time in my life going through this school system did anybody care enough to invite me to church. Maybe they thought I was so lost, I don't know. But something, when I moved back, I wanted to make sure that we invited each and every kid that wants to come here to be a part of something, something bigger than themselves. Because God has a plan for their life. And we want them to see that. Because they're so special to God. You know, it's exciting to see people who have joined that vision. It's a hard vision sometimes. Because two can't walk together unless they agree. And I thank you for the agreement. And, you know, it is, you know, unfortunate sometimes. Not everybody that starts with you on a journey will finish that journey with you. But while they're here, we're so thankful that they're part of that vision. The second thing I want to share is, you know, a lot of pastors, average tenure at a pastor is 6 to maybe 7 years. We've been here 25. You know, quitting for us was not an option, although it was a thought. A time or two, to be honest, because sometimes it's just hard. Hard sometimes is just you have to be on your game all the time. You have to fight the devil all the time. Then you got people in your congregation who are under attack and things like that. And there's, you know, I'll be honest, it's not that the fact that I couldn't handle the work, but the fact that I thought that somebody surely can do better than I'm doing. I really thought God had somebody better than me. My personality trait, I'm not a warm, cuddly person like my wife. I'm really kind of a, you know, some would probably call me more of a recovering porcupine. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I scare people sometimes. I don't know why. I guess I don't mean to. But I guess maybe sometimes the way I preach holiness. You know, I preach inclusion, but holiness is part of it too. But, you know, I always thought, God, you surely got somebody better than me. But he never brought nobody. So I hung in there. And I kept going, and I'm so thankful to be here at this time. The season that our church is in right now is the most awesome season that we've ever been in the history of our church. Oh, we're so glad. We're so glad. There's so many good things going, and I just want to say that, you know, it's not a feeling thing, it's a faith thing. Amen. And no matter where you're at in your journey, no matter what it is that God's called you to do, you know, don't let your feelings lie to you. Don't let them lie to you and make you give up or give in or throw in the towel. But just hang in there. If God's going to have you do something different, he'll reveal it to you in a clear way. Amen? Amen? So just hang in there. And that's what we've learned in these 25 years. And you know, the last thing is, it's so awesome seeing that video, all the past, and just seeing all the kids and all the adults, you know, that's been such a part of everything that we're doing. And I just want to say, savor the past, but focus on the future. You know, I thank for, we can look back and we can see some of the things we've done. But I don't know about you, but I see some things that yet to do. Amen? Amen. You know, and I think that, you know, we have a very good team here now. We're still looking, recruiting more players. Amen. You want to be on this team? We're not the kind of church you can come here and sit around and just kind of get lazy, you know, all the time. You know, I'll let you sit back a little bit, you know. But, you know, I'm going to ask you, hey, what can God do through you? You know, I know what God can do through me, but what can God do through you? And that's what we want to find out, because I'm not getting any younger, amen? You know, we need some people that are ready to take that torch and keep going. And, you know, I would never exchange, you know, there's times when you're going through a hard time, man, you just wish, wow, I don't want to do this no more. You know, this is hard. You know, the hardest thing for a pastor sometimes, you know, you get stabbed in the back every now and then. I've learned to get 2 breastplates of righteousness. I put one on the back now sometimes. Amen? You know, just to cover both sides pretty good. But anyway, you know, I was just thinking, I would not exchange all the hard lessons that I went through. You know, when you're going through them, you say, oh, I don't want to do this no more. This is so hard. But I tell you, things that we learn that is so valuable. 2 things, trust and endurance. You know, if we have those 2 things, we can really fulfill and complete a lot of things in life. You know, trusting God. You know, we've put our hearts, our lives, everything, all our marbles in the God basket. You know what I'm saying? That's just what me and my wife have done. Yeah, it hasn't been, you know, peachy keen all the time, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change it for a thing. Because those hard times you go through, you really learn how to trust God. And then you get that endurance. And I'll tell you what, the devil gets really nervous when we get dedicated. Amen? Yeah. You know, when we say we're going to do something, and I thank God that we have all of you a part of it. And the last thing you can do is when you start off on a journey. Now, some of you have already been committed to something, but if you're looking for a spouse, find one that is willing to walk with you in ministry. Amen. You can come a little closer, honey. Come on. Make it look like we're not friendly. But anyway, I would never want to have done this without this woman right here, because we complement each other. There's things that she's so much better at than I am. And I thank God she fills that portion of the church here. You know, there's things that I can do that she can't do or doesn't want to do. But you know, if you're looking for a spouse, don't settle. And you really want to do ministry, you know, don't settle for something that will drag you away from the vision and the plan that God has for your life. You know, I go to a lot of functions for pastors and sometimes, and you know, I'm so thankful that she attends most of these things with me. You know, because she's a part of this church. She's the other part of me. And you know, she's just as much a part of this vision as I am. And I'm so thankful. And maybe you're married now, and you know, maybe your spouse isn't where you want to be. Pray them through. You know, try to get on the same page. But I'll tell you what, there's two great lives on this planet. Number one's the life of a Christian. You know, having a relationship with a real God and having him part of your life. That's just so awesome. But the second greatest relationship you can have is when your wife or your husband is a part of you, and you can do ministry together, do God together. And if you're not doing God together, then now I challenge you to give it a shot, give it a try, and see where God will take you. Because if you study statistics, for the most part, it's not foolproof all the time, but generational blessing, you know, when parents get Jesus in their kid's heart, you know, and that keeps carrying on from generation to generation, you see a major benefit in that relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How many's getting hungry? Anybody? All right, we got another video to show.